Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
On today's episode of the Blue White Illustrated Recruiting Podcast, Sean Fitz and myself take a closer look at who made it and who didn't for last weekend's game against Northwestern. It's also the bye week, which means James Franklin and his staff will be out on the road throughout the weekend. We'll hit on a few players to know there. We'll end the podcast then with a couple prospects in New England that Chad Simmons was recently able to see. Let's go. All right, Fitz, it's the bye week. Do you got anything fun going on for the bye week?
Anything fun? Anything good going on? I think I'm heading to Colorado tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited about that. Great American Beer Festival happened to line up with the bye week, which does not happen very often. So yeah, I think I'm going to go out there for the next couple of days.
Did you have enough vacation this summer, man? I mean, come on, I'm a little jealous right now. But
this was scheduled before any of that was in motion. So once they came out with the Big Ten schedule last year, I was like, oh, that's perfect. I'm in. So yeah, I like a good beer fest, so I'm pretty excited. So sorry, but also really, really not sorry at all.
Well, I get to go to DC on Friday to see Birchmeyer versus Donko. So I'm looking forward to that. That's a little, not quite as fun as the American Beer Fest, but I am looking forward to seeing those guys this weekend.
At least they'll play every play and you don't have to worry about scoring and all that kind of stuff. I think you'll be okay with that.
Right. And I'm hoping they go after, you know, actually line up against each other too. That'd be some good clips. But all right. Anyway, let's get into Northwestern. Considering the weather, I don't think it was too bad of a list. There were a couple guys who didn't end up showing. Sean, I'll just kind of throw it your way to start. You know, who were the kind of the top guys that you really want to hit on in this list? And, you know, what do fans need to know?
I mean, I think coming into it, the focus was on the 2024s and even the 2025. Dalen McCutchen, the receiver from Texas, made it up, and bless him for it, man. I mean, you saw the weather and everything, and it was that's a heck of a trip to make. And it makes you think of last year when Dakari Nelson did the same thing. I think it was for the Rutgers game or the
Rutgers
Illinois game. Mm-hmm. It was for the Rutgers game. I mean, if you're making that trip on your own dime for this weekend, you've certainly got some interest there. So it'll be interesting to see the track that his recruitment goes. He was at Oklahoma the week before, so seems good. Somebody hit me up from down there, said they've got, I think, four D1 receivers on that team. So I don't know that he'll put up the numbers of a D1 receiver as a sophomore, but certainly schools are looking at him already. Penn State already offered him. I think the one thing that we were looking at in 2023 going in was that of Rodney Laura, the former Virginia commit defensive tackle from Woodbury Forest School in Virginia, originally from New Jersey. He was up this weekend. You and I talked, especially on the board on the Lions Den, that Penn State wasn't completely sold on him. I still don't get the sense that they are. I'm not sure which direction that recruitment is going to take, but you look at what Penn State still wants in their recruiting class, where you're talking D end, receiver, another running back, offensive tackle, certainly. They've started looking at the JUCO ranks for that. And D tackle would be a luxury, and I'm not sure that he's above the line in terms of pushing that across and being a plus guy.
Right. Makes sense. I'm going to switch over to a couple of 2024 guys that kind of stand out, or at least guys that I've spoken with already. Eric Lee, IMG Academy safety. Good talk with him. I mean, so the weather is what it is, right? So normally in these recaps were, you know, how was the crowd? You know, what'd you think of the student section? All that kind of stuff. Well, you were there, Sean. I was watching on TV. It looked like there really wasn't much of a student section by the second half. But of course, you know, he had good talks with the staff. I think that was the key takeaway. You know, Eric's really kind of building a good relationship with Terry Smith. He's down at IMG Academy and now originally from Camden, checked in around 6'1", 185. We have him as a three-star player. And, you know, like a lot of these 2024 guys, let's see how the film comes in and see where things end up from there. I also caught up with Juan Minaya, 6'6", 315 pound offensive tackle from Paramus Catholic. Another player, I think, just to keep an eye on here. A lot of the film and what we see over the next 6 weeks are going to kind of determine where he ends up. But just like Nyjer Daniels, who was also there, a massive player. I mean, that the offensive linemen they're going after in this class are kind of on a different level than what we've seen in recent years. And I think it's clear they're trying to find true offensive tackles. But Juan also had good things to say. This was his second visit to Penn State since April. And he has one other visit, I think, lined up for Michigan State on October 15th. So Michigan State and Penn State definitely seem to be the two schools emerging with Manaea. But of course, like I said, let's see how the film comes in. One other guy, Jalen Harvey. Jalen Harvey made it, Sean. We were wondering if Jalen would make it there. He made it up as well. I think I have to also mention Caden Brown, notable prospect out of Erasmus Hall. He was one of the few guys that we didn't really have on the list originally. And then he tweeted out, late Thursday or early Friday that he'll be there. So Caden's a good looking prospect out of Erasmus. I think this was his first visit there. But On3 has him 106 in the country right now, where if you look at the consensus, which is the industry average, it's substantially lower at 351. So Charles Power is clearly seeing something there. Malik Washington also made it. Sean, did you get to watch Malik at camp this summer? I can't remember. Were you at that camp or not?
Yeah, he was at camp. He throws a nice ball. Got good size. There's a lot to like there. I think what we're just going to keep coming back to with all the 2024s and 2025, Malik Washington 2025, by the way, is that there's so much tape to go through on these guys that you mentioned with Manaea and some of the other guys. It's an evaluation process, not just with the stars, but also with, is Penn State going to seriously consider them? And Malik Washington, a good start to his career. Archbishop Spalding High in Maryland, which of course produced Zaki Wheatley as well. They also had Jaden Shipps up, a 2025 defensive back who I took a look at the film yesterday. I was pleasantly surprised by him as well for a sophomore. So Archbishop Spalding has a couple of guys worth watching. But yeah, Malik Washington, one of those quarterbacks that's got a regional profile right now, but probably should continue to get better and continue to expand his recruitment. But Penn State was one of the early offers on him, and they did get to see him at camp. And at that position, it's so important for him to come in and work with Mike Yurcich and work with the offensive staff and try to get a feel for what he is, because we've seen it. Quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators like Yurcich, they have a particular type. It's not always the highest ranked guy. It's the guy that they want to do. You saw that with last cycle. Drew Aller was not a highly ranked kid. Yurcich came in and said, I want this kid. I'm going to make it happen. He made it happen. And all of a sudden you've got an eventual five-star. So it's just a very interesting way to look at it, because, you know, these quarterback evaluations are so important, most important position on the field, but it's not always going to go along with what we say. And, you know, I'll give the coaches the benefit of the doubt on this one.
Yeah. Malik being a 2025 guy, no rating on him yet. 6'4", 200, Virginia Tech and Maryland are the other schools to offer. I think he ran like a 4.7 at that 4.7, camp, which is, yeah. Was it? Yeah, I think it's not, you know, it's not for a sophomore, you know, 6'4", 200, like that's really pretty good. Like, he can definitely keep improving on that as well. The one other thing with Malik too, I had an interview with him about a month ago, and there is a good relationship with Zaki. He stays in touch with Zaki. So obviously Zaki's having a good start to his career, and I'm sure that relationship should only help moving forward. All right, coaches, bye week. This is always one of the most fun weeks for us to try and track everything down. We're still kind of in the process of doing that. But Sean, I'll kind of throw it your way to start. Just kind of what's the schedule looking like? It looks like kind of they'll be here for the beginning of the week. And then like Thursday is when things are really going to start taking off when it comes to those recruiting visits.
Yeah. So I think in the past, sometimes they've gone out on Sunday or Monday, and that's not happening anymore. Penn State was in town Monday, Tuesday, and we're recording on a Tuesday afternoon. They'll be here Wednesday and Thursday. That'll start to splinter off. You'll get Franklin going out on Wednesday evening. You'll get some coaches going out Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So spending more time on the front end with game prep, obviously with Michigan, and that's been a big criticism of James Franklin in the past in terms of how his teams play coming off a bye week. So I would say, just from an onlooker's perspective, comparing it to past years, spending a little bit more time on the team side of things, which that's why we're here. You know, you're here to follow the actual team. From a recruiting standpoint, James will go out Wednesday night, see a bunch of commits, and we'll see some guys that you know, he's been wanting to check out for a while. Stop in and see Carmelo Taylor in Virginia, Mega Barnwell. Go with Jaywan Sider down to South Florida, check out King Mack and Conrad Hussey, which I'll say surprisingly here, but surprisingly quiet on those fronts in terms of recruiting. They seem pretty solid to Penn State, which, you know, being in Fort Lauderdale, that's a long way away. So you would expect a little bit more chatter with them, but they seem pretty good. Maybe sneaking a stop at former commit Tamarian Parker in Alabama. But yeah, just getting out, seeing a lot of those commits, seeing some other guys that we're going to continue to track through the week. I know Ryan's going to be on top of it later on this week, but going to get out there and see some dudes. And you got assistants going all over the place. One that I've highlighted, Taylor Stubblefield and Anthony Poindexter. Going to go see Cam Seldon, committed to Tennessee. Bad year to recruit against Tennessee, though, I will say that, because they're a top 10 program right now as well. So maybe in the past you've seen that program fall apart, you know, as the season goes along. I don't know if you're seeing that this year. They've got some big games ahead of them, but Penn State's still in regular contact with Cam Seldon, one of the top of the board targets, and has been for a while. And then later on in this weekend, sort of a mix of the two, Ty Howell's going to be up in New England checking out Samson Okunlola and Andrew Rapelier going head to head. I know that's a game that you had on your calendar, but I think the Birchmeyer to Donko one won out, I think, for good reason. So they're going to be all over the place. As I said, Ryan will continue to monitor it all through the week, and hey, does a great job with following where those coaches are supposed to be and where they show up.
Yeah, a lot of text messages going out here in the days ahead to try and track all that stuff down. One other thing I wanted to mention too is you brought up Franklin, South Florida, Sider, Chris Johnson, Dillard. Isn't that South Florida? I believe. I mean, you know, we've talked about him as a running back that Penn State's working hard on. Running back is becoming more and more important here with Devin Ford now leaving the program. So I mean, I had running back as like fourth, fifth on the priority list a couple months ago. And now it's like, man, is it like one or two? I mean, you can tackle running back. I mean, they feel like they're ahead of wide receiver in my eyes.
Yeah, you can make that argument because Chris Johnson, number one, could play, I think, either. He's a tremendous athlete, dynamic athlete down there in South Florida. I think it's very interesting. He has not set up an official visit, but still continues to talk. And in an update on three last week, he said the Miami start is something not alarming, but it's something that's not helping their cause right now. So that's just a little window that you can get into. And for a program that's 1,000 miles away, you'll take any of those that you can get. So yeah, Chris Johnson's in there. I know that they've been recruiting some running backs committed to other programs, and that's something that, you know, that they hope to get those guys on campus. But until then, you kind of wait and see with those guys, because it's so, it's so fluid with those committed prospects right now. But yeah, they're on a bunch of running backs right now and hoping to add to London Montgomery, who obviously is missing the season. And with Devin Ford off the team, with looking at what you've got with Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, and then what does Kevon Lee do? There's plenty of room for speculation as to what they're going to do at running back, but they do want another body in there, whether it's a freshman, whether it's a transfer, whether it's both. It's hard to say right now.
Well, we're seeing coaching changes every week now. Of course, Paul Chryst was out. Your boy at Colorado's out. So, I mean, that's going to just keep coming at this point, I think. And the more we see there,
that's where the Colorado job is right now. It's your boy. You don't even realize who you're talking about.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
No, I mean, I was having this discussion this morning. I mean, is that even a decent job anymore? I know it's a hard job to go into and try and resurrect a program that won a national championship 30 years ago. But I mean, it's really tough. And I'll stop. You know what? I'll stop out and ask while I'm in Boulder this week.
You know, Brett, do you see Brenneman pushing the Ricky Ronnie on Twitter the other night?
I did not see that. Yeah. I mean, he's got those Kansas State roots, so he's been out there before, and he's actually from Colorado.
Colorado, right?
But he spent a lot of time at Kansas State. So, I mean, I've seen worse fits. I mean, you've got other guys that have been shoehorned in, and plenty of coaching changes happening. The Wisconsin one, I know you and I were just kind of like taken aback, and then you take a look at the stats and the record against Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and the fact that, you know, the Big Ten West does make it easier to win out there, but you want to do something with that and turn that into something I mean, I was surprised, but then you take a look in hindsight and you think, well, maybe it wasn't as good of a run as we thought it was. Wisconsin fans, obviously, and Barry Alvarez, I'm sure, had something to do with it. Probably felt that same way.
Jim Leonard, man, I think they're going to try and keep him, or they're going to do everything they can to try and keep him, right? They're going to give him a runway and see what happens there. And if not, hey, maybe you go for Brett Bielema. I don't know. Who knows? But I don't think that's coach, man.
That's a dangerous team right there. And by the way, while we're speaking of coaching changes, West Virginia, man, that's one you usually don't, track those for that long, but Neil Brown is going to end up missing a bowl game. It's going to end up just, they're kind of in purgatory right now. You're just waiting for him to get fired. That, of course, is going to turn back the speculation machine on Rodney Gallagher. Penn State has stayed on him as well from a recruiting standpoint. So those ones that pop up, at least in the locality of Penn State, it's worth watching.
Mm-hmm. I got to circle back to one thing to mention with Chris Johnson too. He has taken two official visits so far. He actually went to Utah, another Utah guy, South Florida to Utah. That's a pipeline, you never see coming. But he also has an official set to Ole Miss in November. Just wanted to mention.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss is firmly in that, by the way. Lane Kiffin, mm-hmm. I mean, you obviously don't know what happens with him in the coaching cycle, but Lane Kiffin is very appealing to those guys in South Florida because they can play offense. So, yeah.
Not surprising. Ole Miss had a big NIL rally this past week, and I was reading up about it, how, like, I guess in Mississippi, your coaches are allowed to talk to NIL representatives. I think that's like a state law in Mississippi. I was reading something about it. I should probably read on it more before we run our mouth on the podcast. But anyway, there was a big NIL rally there this weekend, and the speculation was, they're doing this because they want to make sure Lane doesn't go anywhere. And NIL now is, that it used to be facilities and recruiting territory, right? Well, now NIL is kind of like the reason to pull coaches away, I guess is where we're getting.
As long as Brett Favre is not involved, I think they'll be okay.
All right, time to transition here. Chad Simmons was up in New England this past weekend, checking up on a few guys that are really important to Penn State. Of course, we mentioned Samson Okunlola, who will face Andrew Rapelier this weekend. Sean, I mean, not a whole lot there with Samson. The mindset still seems to be that Miami's the team to beat. Although, let's see, is he taking Alabama so far and Michigan State, I believe. And then, there's talk about USC as well. But the main thing is there's not a whole lot of talk about him taking a Penn State official, although they're trying.
Yeah, they're trying. And I mean, that's kind of what you got to do at this point. They've had him on campus before, but he just keeps going back to the culture at Penn State, the culture, he's good fit and everything. But you just realistically, you don't see that one happening, especially when you're talking Miami, USC, Alabama. It's a little bit different in terms of what he's looking for. I know his brother's at Pitt, but I don't think that has anything to do with his eventual outcome. So uphill climb might be generous to say that, but Penn State's still trying, still doing what they can, but I mean, that one seems pretty well off the table.
Yeah. A couple other guys in New England we got to mention. Is it Gerby Lambert, I believe, offensive lineman, 2024. You clarified that Penn State has offered there, which was something we were wondering for a while because he's a really good prospect. We knew Troutline was very interested, but he never actually put it out there that they had an offer. You clarified that there is an offer there now. Chad seems to think that he has real interest in Penn State. Just have you learned much about him? Although all I know is he's a top player for them.
Yeah, not a ton because he has not visited yet, but he listed Penn State as one of three schools he talks to the most. And then it was kind of like, well, if he doesn't have an offer, why is he talking to them the most? So check with some folks, and he definitely does have an offer from Penn State. That's one where you just have to get him down eventually for a game. We know that a lot of those New England schools play on Saturdays instead of Friday nights. So a little bit tougher sometimes, but get him down for a game. See if you can get him down after the season. I think very green in terms of his recruiting prospects right now. But another one of those guys, big kid, can move very well. There's a bunch of those, as you mentioned, in the 2024 class. And it's also very nice to see on guys like Manaya, them making it to campus at 6'6" and actually being 6'6". We've seen that in the past where 6'6" becomes 6'4" really quickly, or 6'3" or even worse. So that's a good thing. But Gerby Lambert, big guy. And then you transition to Liam Andrews, who was at camp this summer and was awesome. Absolutely just kept up with Birch Meyer and Javen Williams and those guys in the 2023 class and seemed to really fit in there. I think Penn State's got a real shot there. I think he's probably their top interior prospect in the 2024 class. We talk about guys that in that cycle right now where you want to see more film or you want to know if they're takes or not. But I think Liam Andrews is a no-brainer if you're Penn State right now. But Ohio State's involved. A couple other schools are – I think Alabama's involved as well. We'll see if he gets to that level. But certainly a kid that can play. And I think you and I walked away from camp, or at least watching the video from camp, very impressed with Liam Andrews as a potential center or guard prospect.
Oh, yeah. Liam Andrews was one of the best performances we saw at camp all year. I mean, not only that, I mean, so he checked in great size-wise and, you know, performed really well in drills. But I think he had a – I think it was like a 4.7 shuttle. And I think this broad was like 8.10, which is pretty good at a guy, you know, almost 6'4", 262. I think it was one of the best broad jumps we saw from any offensive lineman this year. So, you know, just measures explosion. And, of course, that's a very important trait with offensive linemen. So Andrews, in my opinion, without a doubt, their top interior guy. One other thing with Gerby, too, 6'7", 285. It's just like Nyjer Daniel. It's just like Wamanaya. They are looking for size at the offensive tackle, and he fits that well. Lambert, by the way, is the 12th ranked player in the country by On3 at the moment. Number one offensive tackle. So just like Samson Okunlola, man, like
just like him,
good offensive.
I actually did not realize he was that high. Yeah, that's
yeah. That's he's number 50 in the consensus, number 12 by On3. So certainly a player we'll be talking about a good bit. Well, who else do we have to mention? Oh, Dylan Stewart, too. Chad did get an update on Dylan Stewart. He's not a New England prospect, of course. excuse me. But I think it's worth mentioning. Stewart has some good things to say about his Penn State visit. He has a couple other visits. I think he's trying to go to Ohio State Michigan game at the end of the year is what Dylan had to say. Just another five-star guy that we're going to be talking about quite a bit throughout the region. And, you know, not going to be easy for Penn State to get him, but he's going to be one of their top five, six, seven or so prospects, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, the edge rusher is such a premium. Stewart came up earlier this year, and you know, Ohio State, Alabama. You just read that list off again, and you'll see that it would be a tough fight. But Penn State wants to get him or got him up for the whiteout last year, got him up for a game earlier this year. Just keep getting him back, doing what you can.
All right. Well, that's it for me this week, Sean. I don't know if you have anything else. I know you have a lot of beer drinking ahead of you while I track down a bunch of coaching visits. So enjoy that. Anything else on the docket today? I think we're good.
Nope. Just like the video. I know that was the last thing T-Frank told me before he came
T-Frank,
on.
T-Frank, I forgot. I did it again.
Like, follow us, you know, subscribe and do all that kind of stuff really helps us out. But I think that's probably about it from a recruiting standpoint. Got a couple of weekends off from a visitor standpoint, and I know that whiteout list will be cooking in no time.
It's already cooking, man. I think we're already at like 20 or so scholarship players. We haven't put it all out there, but we've been chipping away at it behind the scenes. But all right, guys. Well, for Sean Fitz, I'm Ryan Snyder. We appreciate you guys, you know, tuning in. Give us likes and, of course, subscribe to BWI. The dollar deal really is going to end soon. I promise you guys, we've been pushing it forever, but it is coming to an end. But appreciate you guys listening today, and we'll talk to you next week.